You're listening to a KenOnFood.com podcast. For more, subscribe through Apple Podcasts and any good podcast app. Just search Ken on Food Podcast. For episode one, and to kick off the new podcast series, I'm going back to an interview from one of the shows in September with regular guest Francis Nesbitt of Crowan Cottages in Kilkenny. Here we chat about what to do with gluts of vegetables, a smallholders event, pickled courgette, and awesome apple and courgette cake, along with things to do with lamb and how one of my favourite bands ended up recording in his house. This is what happened. How are you?
Some people might say that was a bit tenuous now, but great music today. Absolutely brilliant.
Such a not so much like a slight bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
But we've been playing Bell X1, Great Factor. Brilliant song, brilliant Irish band, one of my favourites. And then I get a sneaky text message that says, hey, you know that album? Yeah, that was recorded in my place. Just like, if I could like name drop / mic drop.
My text message. Like, thanks for playing Bell X1. That's my claim to musical fame.
How did that even come about? I know this is like so far removed from food.
Well, you see, I'm from Dublin and Bell X1 are from Dublin and it's a small place. So and the lads. No, I met Paul, the lead singer, Paul Noonan, years and years ago, just after Juniper broke up. Yeah. And we became mates. We used to play chess of a Sunday in town. And then they formed Bell X1 and they were looking for somewhere to do a bit of recording. Yeah. And we had a place down in Kilkenny, and this was when we were up in Tinlinton near Castlecomer. And we offered them the house for the weekend, and they came down and did some recording. And afterwards, one of my treasured possessions is this blank kind of recorded at home CD with a little handwritten note saying, here's a few tracks off the forthcoming album.
Amazing.
And just absolutely amazing. Music in Mouth, it's a fantastic album. It's 15 years old now.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still listen to it all the time. Still one of my absolute favourites.
It's glorious. Snakes and Snakes, Alphabet Soup.
Yeah,
Eve's
gorgeous.
Eve's the Apple of My Eye.
Eve's the Apple of My Eye. That was one of the ones they recorded in
Tinlinton. Done. So, coming up on KCLR Drive next...
Am I finished?
We've got some Elbow. Here's a 7-minute long version.
Well, interesting story about Elbow.
No way! Well, I used to play chess with Guy Garvey in Dublin because he's from...
Actually, the lads, after the recording session down in Tinlinton, they told a great story. One of the neighbours stopped over one day, old Jack, and the lads were... They were going on their holidays to Kilkenny, so they brought a couple of hurleys with them, you know, and they were belting the ball around in the field. And Jack said to them, you know where you should play now? You should play over there against the hedge. And the lads were like, why? Is the ground better over there? And he said, well, no, it's just when you're behind the hedge, nobody would see how bad you were. Welcome to Kilkenny.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's how we train them down here now. So, the reason you're here, we're a little later than the kind of first Friday that we've almost set in place. We're talking food.
Yes.
And you have been a very busy man.
Very busy. So, we had to put off last weekend because I was down running the smallholder showcase down at the Ballymaloe Garden Festival.
Good time.
What a gorgeous place. Mm. Oh my God, really a special place. Ballymaloe is amazing. And what an industry, you know, an entire family hired or running businesses from the farm. Stunning old walled garden down there that they've restored. It produces food for Ballymaloe House. And it's kind of done in the ornamental style, so there's plenty of pretty things about the place as well. And they saw the smallholder kind of gathering that we'd done at Savor last year and asked us to come down and run a few sessions talking about food provision, self-provision.
Yeah.
And so we had sessions on pigs and sheep, and Susanna Crampton came down and brought down some of her Zavartable sheep, and we spoke about growing veg and things like that. Very well attended, very interested kind of crowd. The alpacas, of course, were the highlight of the show. Everybody loves them. Yeah, really.
Did she unpack?
She did. We had a baby Kriya.
I'm so proud I actually remembered
the phrase. Yeah. No, she unpacked a little bit of Kriya, a little baby boy.
Nice.
About 10 days ago now.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thanks very much. I hope he takes after his father rather than his mother, because Olga, God bless her, she's a lovely alpaca, but every time I look at her, she just reminds me of Theresa May. She's not the prettiest animal in the world. But anyway. No, but Ballymaloe was superb. Absolutely fabulous. And we flew the flag for Kilkenny down there. I had plenty of kind of literature encouraging people to come and see what we do up here. So it was a big hit. And a couple of weeks before that, then we were up in Cavan at the Taste of Cavan Festival. Yeah. Very, very different. Huge, huge festival. Big, big, big numbers. Again, we were talking about kind of self-provision. But no offence to anybody from Cavan, but they wouldn't really have the kind of food culture that we would have down here. The appreciation for kind of fine foods and organically grown and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of people were coming up to us saying that we just seemed to be light years ahead down in the southeast. Wow. Yeah.
Considering it's only like 3 hours.
It's
give or take,
same country. Like it's no distance at all. But we've kind of been spoiled over the years with the quality and quantity of the artisan producers we have and the food shops that store all of this fantastic stuff. So Wong's there forever, you know, a lot of these kind of stores kind of spoil us, and there just doesn't seem to be the same kind of retail outlets or exposure to those kind of fine ingredients in that part of the world. But things are changing, and there were lots of artisans there with their wares and building awareness and stuff, so it's only a matter of time.
Our guest in studio remains Francis Nesbitt, Crowline Cottages in Kilkenny. We've been talking about the smallholder setup in Ballymaloe and in Cavan, and we're moving on to the kind of the meaty side of things and the cakey side of things. You've brought some goodies into studio with you because you've been busy.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year in the garden and in the wild. Plenty of mushrooms about at the moment, of course. I passed some shaggy ink caps on the way in. They're probably the most easily recognisable of the edible mushrooms that you find about the place. Tall, white, cylindrical mushrooms, snow white, with kind of little shaggy flakes off them. I have some photographs up on Twitter at Nesbitt F, if you have a look at those there. And absolutely delicious. But of course, they don't keep any more than like a couple of hours. You pick them and they wilt in no time. But in the garden then as well, there's loads of produce kind of ready to harvest. And this is really the time of the year that people start to deal with gluts. So all of your tomatoes start to ripen all at the same time. Loads and loads of peas and beans out in the garden. And then that most famous of the glut vegetables, the courgette. So I use a lot of courgettes. I really like them. I like them when they're nice and small. Yeah. Just slice them and pan fry them. I brought some in here before.
Oh, yeah, the yellow courgette.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, really lovely. But it's absolutely famous for turn your back and you've got this giant marrow behind you. Yeah. And they have massive big leaves, so they like to hide under the leaves. So you think you've gotten them all, but nope, there's one left there to grow on. But it's a lovely vegetable. And so over the last few years, we've been trying to figure out ways of kind of using it up.
Yeah.
And one of the great ways is to preserve it. So it's a fantastic, if you pickle courgette, it's a gorgeous additive to sandwiches and stuff like that. Just like you'd pickle some onions or baby cucumbers.
Yeah.
It makes a fantastic sandwich kind of filling at a later date. And how you do that is basically you kind of cook them in a vinegar solution. So you get all of your courgettes, thinly slice them, maybe with some thinly sliced shallots, use some salt, and then in the pickling liquid, I generally would use a cider vinegar. It adds a kind of nice apple-y kind of quality to it. Some caster sugar, some mustard. I like all of my pickles to have a little kind of fieriness to them. So some mustard seeds, celery seeds if you can get them, and then I always add a bit of chili as well. I'll put the recipe for that up on the website, but it's a brilliant thing to do with some of your courgettes. You can bottle up those jars once you pickle them. Leave them about 6 weeks before you start using them, and they'll last for like 6 months or 9 months.
Yeah,
so you'll have those all the way through to the next courgette crop next year.
Well, you've gone a step further and mentioned the cider vinegar. You've got the apple hit, but you've put the two and combined them in. I'm just going to tear off a little piece.
So at this time of the year then, as well as the courgettes, of course, I'm falling over apples. Now the windfalls are going up to the pigs and they absolutely love them, but there's tons and tons of apples out at Crowan in the orchard. And one of the best ways of using up the courgettes and the apples is to put them together into a cake. And the one that you're trying just there now, absolutely delicious. And there's some hazelnuts in that as well, because they're ripening on the trees at the moment as well. So I have the recipe for this apple and courgette and hazelnut cake up on the Crowan Cottages website.
Is it like a happy accident? I mean, do apples and courgettes naturally just go together? Or did you go, I've got a ton of apples and a ton of courgettes, I need to do something, I'm just going to try this?
That's exactly it. But when you cook a courgette, it has that kind of sweet flavour to it. And if you cook it in a lot of sugar, it takes on almost a custard type flavour. And when you like apples and custard, they're a perfect kind of combination. So Niamh came up with this when we were doing some work for the River Cottage course a year ago. And it was a huge hit with all of the people that were on the course. They took away the recipe with them as part of the kind of course pack. And we've been doing it ever since. So the recipe for this, I just got up on the website today, but it's really well worth doing. Very, very, very simple recipe. Like it's some butter, some caster sugar, a couple of eggs, a medium-large courgette, so not one of the ones that's kind of gone into record-breaking territory. So it still has some of that flavour. An eating apple I tend to use. It means I have to add less sugar. Some plain flour, bit of salt, baking powder. You can put in some cinnamon if you're a fan of that, because apple is always a great friend to cinnamon. And then some of the hazelnuts. Roast them if you can. If you're picking them off the tree, roast the hazelnuts before you use them. And make that in a kind of 1 pound loaf tin. Very, very simple. Mix the ingredients, pop it in the oven, and generally takes, it's a slow bake, so it generally takes about an hour, 50 minutes to an hour. But it's moist, the courgette.
Very, very moist.
Now you have to squeeze out some of the water from the courgette, particularly if it's big, because they're inside, it's essentially all water. So when I grate it, I squeeze it, get most of the water out, but it retains that moisture in the cake. Absolutely lovely with a cup of tea.
Tidy.
Or a glass of sweet wine, actually.
Very good.
Yeah, it's a fantastic kind of dessert wine accompaniment.
We need to spoil ourselves more often.
Yeah, we really do. And a half bottle you'll get in Le Caveau, actually. So you don't even have to worry about finishing it.
Sound? I like where the weekend is already going. It's not even 5 o'clock. We've got ourselves like dessert
an
cake and sweet wines. And we don't need excuses around here. You've gone a slightly different direction.
Yeah.
Than with our people can see this at Nesbitt F on Twitter, or check the KCLR 96 FM account. What have we got?
So I brought in a little lamb cutlet, because we're right at the end of Love Lamb Week. And that was something that a promotion that was, it come up with by the farmers. So it's been running on Twitter and on social media over the last week. And it's sheep farmers coming together and trying to promote their produce and raise awareness. Lamb is one of those meats that really suffers from seasonality. So people think about lamb, you know, at Easter time, and then rarely ever again. And unfortunately, because it's so seasonal, the price of it at those seasonal times really peaks. And so if you go out and buy a leg of lamb at Easter, you'd be forgiven for thinking that lamb is a shockingly expensive meat.
It's like the ham and turkey at Christmas.
Exactly.
They're available all year long. Like.
Exactly. Yeah. You buy a turkey in March, it's probably a lot cheaper than one in December. So lamb, it's not an expensive meat. It's a really delicious meat. It's probably, Ireland is fantastic at producing this gorgeous meat, you know, grass-fed everywhere. It gets nothing but grass, generally. And it's a pity that more people don't think of it, you know, as part of their kind of Sunday roast or whatever. Yeah. It's also an animal that lends itself really well to getting the consumer and the producer together. So I'm often encouraging people to get in touch with a local sheep farmer, and I'm encouraging farmers to get in touch with some consumers and sell a half an animal or even a full animal for a freezer.
Yeah.
A box of lamb that comes back from the butcher, it's not that bulky. It's not like a kind of beef animal where you've tons and tons of meat. It's very, very doable if you have a chest freezer. And you'll get a lamb from the butcher and butchered for like a little over €100. Your leg of lamb, one leg of lamb at Easter time could cost you 40.
Yeah.
So it really makes an awful lot of sense. If you know a sheep farmer, get in touch and ask them to put your name on
them. You wind up with loads of options then as well. Yeah,
exactly. And lamb, as well as a lot of the meats that we produce now, butchers are finding it very difficult to buy in animals and sell the animal, cut it up and sell it in the shop. Because were going for the same cuts all the time. And so a butcher will tell you that they can sell like tons and tons of pork chops, but what the hell are they going to do with the rest of the pig?
Yeah.
And similarly with the lamb, they'll tell you that at Easter time they'll sell as many legs as they can get, but then what do they do with all of the rest of it?
Yeah.
If you get the full animal or half an animal and you have it in the freezer, you're more inclined then to take out these cuts, do a bit of research on how you prepare them, and it works out much more cost effective, and then you get to try lots and lots of things that maybe you wouldn't otherwise.
And you get to do it all year round as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The dressing you've gone for?
So on this one, very, very simple little dressing that I made with parsley, some olive oil, some lemon juice and some garlic, and actually just to add a bit of salt, because lamb can be quite a fatty kind of unctuous flavour in the mouth. So to add a little saltiness to that, instead of adding salt to the mix, I put in a couple of anchovies. Yeah, and they add that kind of salty texture. Really, really nice dressing. There's a bit of sharpness in there from the lemon juice, which cuts through the fattiness of the lamb. It's really, really good.
Tasty.
It is tasty, yeah.
I like it.
I love a bit of lamb.
Good stuff. So that kind of covers loads of the food stuff. This is great. You were saying on off the back of Ballymaloe, you've had a couple of more bookings for the River Cottage side of things for later this year.
That's right, yeah. So on the day I was down there, actually, another couple of bookings came in. So there's actually only two places left now on the River Cottage course that we're running on the October Bank Holiday weekend. Yeah. So that's the Saver weekend. It's a two-day residential course out of my place, although a few people are... local people are coming along too, so they're going for the non-residential option. 2 days with Stephen Lamb and Gil Meller. Gil Meller was the author of our book of the year, our food
this
book
is
of
your,
the year.
Your big A to Z.
Gather.
Apart
from the River Cottage A to Z. Gather was one of the books that we picked at Christmas time to talk about. Really fabulous cookbook and beautifully photographed, stunningly produced, all of the recipes by Gil Meller. Really a lovely, lovely book. And he's coming over to do the course with us, and we'll rope him into a demo, I think, as well in Kilkenny for as part of Saver.
Sure, why not?
Absolutely, yeah.
I haven't told him yet. He knows now.
Yeah. And Stephen Lamb then is also coming over, of course, the smoking and curing and butchering expert, and he's working on a new book for River Cottage now on cheese.
Nice.
So we're going to make some cheese as part of the course, which will be a nice new addition to the stuff that we do out there.
Brilliant.
So there'll be two full packed days of cookery learning and not even demos, it's all hands-on, like those courses.
And if people want a book or...
crowandcottages.com. So we have all the details up there, crowandcottages.com. There's a page which describes the course and photographs of previous courses that we've done, and some lovely testimonials actually from people who've done the courses before.
Yeah.
And I think what speaks best to how entertaining the lads are and how brilliant they are to learn from is that we've two guys coming back for the third time to do a River Cottage course out at Crowan. Our best customers ever. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. One of them is bringing along the wife this time because he was telling me she didn't believe he was going. You've said that before, you're making it up. So he's bringing along the wife this time.
I love it.
So we're really looking forward to that. Now that's on the October Bank Holiday weekend, the last Saturday and Sunday in October.
Cool. Well, crowandcottages.com is all the details. Francis Nesbitt, thanks a million for taking the time out of your Friday to spoil us with cake and cutlets and talk of food. We'll do it all again soon.
Always a pleasure.
That's where you leave it for this podcast. For more, check Apple Podcasts or any good podcast app, and stay in touch at kenonfood.com. If you're up for the chats yourself, you have a story to share, or you'd like to get in touch, email ken@kenonfood.com.